Hi, everybody. Welcome to our afternoon working panel, Opportunities for Development. Today, we're going to take a look at the state of the market for building new projects and frameworks for joint ventures with U.S. partners. As far as Chinese investment, it didn't look that good in the beginning of the year after the decline in the Chinese stock market last fall. But Chinese investors have now pumped 20% more money into U.S. commercial real estate this year than last year. And you've seen deals like Ayn Rand's $6 billion hotel portfolio buy, the largest real estate purchase by a Chinese company so far. In 2016, you can now see as much as $20 billion from Chinese investors if the current pace continues. The money is flowing into major cities with New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Miami leading the way. Meanwhile, China's biggest players are increasingly going it on their own to develop. And companies like Greenland, for instance, have $1 billion projects in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And when Chinese companies are partnering up now, they're more and more sophisticated. So we'll hear more about that today. And all anyone is talking about these days in the US is Donald Trump's surprising presidential win. So we're going to look at the opportunities there and the pitfalls and what it could mean for development. And everyone in the US, I think the panel will agree, is trying to figure that out too. It's the number one question today. And it applies to Americans as well as Chinese. So it's my delight to have some of the biggest names in real estate development here. Please join me in welcoming them. We've got a big panel, so I'm going to introduce them one by one. Raise your hand when I call you. Sharif Al-Ghamal. Sharif's the founder of Soho Properties. It's a New York-based development firm. Sharif's currently developing 45 Park Place. It's a luxury condo project in New York, and he's building a much written about Islamic center that's being designed by architect John Newall. Next, we have Bill Deser. I think it's safe to say that Bill is one of the coolest developers in the United States. He's based in South Florida. One of his recent projects is a 60-story Porsche Tower, where you have a car elevator that takes your car right up to your 30th floor apartment. And he's also doing a project with fashion brand Armani. He's transformed big sections of Miami, and he's also partnered with Donald Trump on many deals. Next we have Chang Dai. Chang is the CEO of Kwakin Properties. It's a New York-based Chinese investment firm. And the company's been one of the first of its kind to build a bridge between Chinese capital and U.S. investment. So it has four large projects in New York, including a tower near Times Square that's on track to sell $400 million in apartments. Next, we have Scott Alpert. So Scott is the president of Wyckoff, and it's a major development company that has 70 properties and more than 18 million square feet in the U.S. and abroad. The company's most recent project is One Park Lane. It's a super tall, as they say, condo tower in New York, costing $1.7 million. And they're also raising EB-5 money for hotels. Next, we have Stan Gale Jr. Stan is the president of Yale International. It's a U.S. developer behind the master plan for Songdo City, which is a 1,500-acre mixed-use development in Seoul, South Korea. And Stan spent 3 years co-developing, co-leading Yale's development efforts in China, which helped execute the master plan for Mengzi Lake, which was a 70 million square foot project in Hunan province. So he's used to dealing in big numbers. Next, we have Zeal Feldman. And Zeal is the founder of development company HMC Capital. He's sold and developed more than 12,000 residential units, and he's a $1 billion project underway in the Chelsea neighborhood in New York City, next to a project called the High Line, which is an elevated railway that's gotten a lot of attention and buzz. And finally, we have Don Peoples. Don is the founder of the People's Corporation. It's a real estate company with a multi-billion-dollar portfolio in New York, Washington, Philadelphia, Boston, and Miami. He's published books on real estate investing. He's a regular guest on CNN, and he's also waiting a run to be the mayor of New York City. Maybe he'll announce something special today. We'll see. Okay, so I want to. First question for you guys is, let's talk about the overall state of the real estate market and the climate for development in the U.S. Let's look at residential in particular. What's the outlook? It seems like there's a lot of different stuff going on and some disparity between the luxury market and the rest of the market. Anybody want to jump in there?
You know, I, Darshi Hao Shanghai. Welcome to everybody. I want to just start off by saying that, you know, there's a lot of confusion that I think with respect to the overall state of the residential market. And one of the things that a lot of us tend to forget is the amount of supply that we had in 2007 with close to 27,000 apartments for sale. And I'm speaking specifically in New York City. And that was in 2007, we had 27,000 apartments for sale as overall product. Today, as we're ending 2016, we only have 16,000 apartments. So we're 40% less than the high mark that we had in 2007. So very candidly, it's obviously turned into a much more normal buying cycle. If you're building new product or selling new product, there was a tremendous amount of hyperactivity that happened for a couple of years, but New York is extremely strong and still an extremely safe haven, and essentially we are the new London in the world.
And Shen, you have a project in Midtown called Mima. You're selling condos there. What is the market for foreign buyers right now? What are you seeing this year compared to last year? What's the overall market like for developers in New York?
I think that largely depends on what product delivers to the market. As people know, Chinese investors, their money is sensitive in terms of deal size. The Mima project, we're aiming at the target between 1.5 million to 2.5 million. That's a pretty comfortable range for Chinese investors to take action. So that's why so far we're satisfactory with our sales pace on that project. But also, of course, the people know in the high-end luxury condo market, it's softened a little bit. It's basically the result of supply and demand. It's nothing close to similarity of 2008 or 9, although a lot of the media are saying the market is going down, it's crashed. I don't feel that way. We're very optimistic for 2017 and future. But you do hear from brokers and also people in the field use the word strange to describe the current market. I think another word for that is interesting, or also I heard uncertainty. Those are the words people begin to use to describe the market. I think that's easy. It's understandable when the supply and demand, and also in the past 2 years, it was so hot for the land trade. We know there's a $28 billion. In the past 2 years, and also in Manhattan alone, there's 19 billion land trades, and also there's 9.2 billion on debt that will become mature in the next 2 years, 1 to 2 years. A lot of things will happen on the way. People are waiting, and that waiting is also a strategy to attack.
And did you start out your project thinking you'd have a certain percentage of Chinese buyers, and how is that now compared to what your expectation was at the beginning?
You mean the expectation to return?
Well, in terms of what percentage, like, do you expect half your buyers to be from China? Do you expect?
I mean, I have a pressure sitting here as only Chinese. primarily right now, most capital, you know, we're access to are Chinese capital. I think that Chinese capital will become very, very influential in the next couple of years. From morning to now, there's many patterns talking about that. Although the Chinese foreign policy has gotten tighter and more strict, but the guidance and regulation and policy didn't change at all. And if you're talking to the people who are executing deals every day between China and the US, people will tell you, as long as you follow the guidance, submit the documents, and you will get the money out legally, legitimately.
I want to ask Scott about the LA market, and then I want to touch on Miami and talk to you, Gil. What are you seeing in the overall Miami market in terms of residential development? I know you have a hotel there, but.
Yeah, we're building a hotel and residential building, a small amount of residential. New York, so it creates natural barriers to entry because the amount of time it takes to get entitlement. The site we acquired took 5 years to get entitled, so there you don't get an overbilling, just it's a natural, you know, governor on the amount of construction that happens. So the fundamentals out in the West Coast, specifically LA, are pretty healthy. Now in downtown LA, where they've relaxed the entitlement process, that's a little different. We're building in on the border west Hollywood and Beverly Hills, and there's only a handful of projects, and there's only 20, 30, 50 units, so there is a huge amount of influx of supply, so the demand remains pretty strong.
Right. It seems like that's one of the big stories in the LA market. You have supply constrained markets in general, and then downtown, that's where you have so much of the big development going on.
It's a different price point in downtown versus, you know, in Beverly Hills or West Hollywood or Bel Air and San Francisco.
Do you think there's still opportunities downtown? Do you think that's a saturated market? Do you think, I mean, it seems like you're blotting over a supply constraint. You can avoid downtown, you probably want to, but is that still a good market?
Yeah, we haven't focused at all really on downtown, so I can't really tell you, you know, I don't really have a view on it. Supply-constrained areas where you can get pricing if you build the right product in the market. Fundamentals are there, you can get pricing downtown. I think it's sort of capped just because naturally by the amount of product and the amount of competition you can have.
I'll say that downtown, I can give you a different perspective on downtown. I mean, LA, we're looking downtown right now. And there's a heck of a lot going on downtown. The Broad Museum open, there's a lot of cultural arts investment in downtown. Fueling further development downtown. The city has incentivized development, so right now you have Mated, McFarlane, several other major developers there. The challenge with Los Angeles as a whole is there's no real public transportation system, and so it takes people an hour and a half to get to work in downtown LA. And so what's driving that market is people want to live close to where they work. Most of the major financial, accounting, consulting, law firms are based in downtown LA. And so I see that you know, going further growth. Mayor Eric Garcetti is focused on pushing more development there. So I would say that that's where you're going to see more development. There's no more land in West Hollywood to develop. No more land in Beverly Hills to develop. So you're going to see much more investment in downtown.
I mean, if you want to build a two-story building in Santa Monica, it's probably as easy as building a 60-story building in downtown right now. Stan, can you say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that thinking about downtown LA 20 years ago, I mean, people never think of living down there. And it's interesting how it shifts. But being in a place like China, we know a thing or two about traffic here. And LA has been notorious for traffic for some time as well, so that proximity to the workplace and living very close to the workplace is something that's important, and it's actually become attractive to people. Similar to the way in New York, actually, with the Parks Commission being cleaned up 15 years ago, you couldn't go near a park, and now the priciest, the best sites are located right on the park. So it's kind of a matter of shifting the market.
I think you're seeing that around the country where downtowns are starting to revive. I mean, in Miami, you know, just 15 years ago, you could go downtown and find a park. So it's something you're seeing around the United States where people are tired of the traffic, the mass transportation is not happening where it's supposed to be, and so therefore that's why these downtowns are growing.
Yeah.
We're doing a project in Midtown Miami, partners with the related group of Hyde Midtown, and it's been a tremendous success for exactly that reason. People don't want to come into work, and it's a great place to live, and very close to where they want to be.
And what do you see as the next steps? I mean, LA is a darling for Chinese developers. Miami, surprisingly, the first half of the year, I saw one report, was the fourth. After New York, San Francisco, and Chicago, Miami had the fourth largest amount of investment thanks to a couple of big deals that just happened to happen at the time. But what do you see, you know, the next year or two for Miami?
Well, Miami has been really strong. We've had a bit of a slowdown because we were ramped up so strong between 2012 and 2015, 2016. So in relation to there, we've seen a slowdown. But it's a stable amount. All the projects today that are in a good position are 60-70% sold, with bank loans done, under construction. There aren't too many new projects coming out, so that's going to help stabilize the amount of inventory that is in the market. And so until we get some short, you know, I don't see a real problem. I think our new president-elect is going to help the market in general, and it's going to push up, you know, rising tides, raising all ships, and it's going to